Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We give glory to God for an opportunity for us to fellowship. A cold morning like this one. For those of you who started your vehicles this morning, you saw how there was ice. It was not snow, it was ice, real ice. But you know, we went through it and we decided to come to God's presence. We are thankful to God for that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank our senior pastor for an opportunity to minister the word this morning. Amen. And I want to thank all our online worshippers this morning. I've been glancing and I saw people confessing that they are present. Waze is here. Brother Ashish is here. We give God the glory. That you are far, but you are close in spirit. Also, we thank God for technology, for this improved. You know, this morning I was coming, one of my sons asked me, can you show me a video of how you were doing your talent? Because I told them I used to memorize. They said, can you show me a video of how you were doing it? I said, oh, unfortunately, in our days, there were no phones. Technology has increased in such a way that we can worship God from every area and corner on this planet. We give glory to God. Praise the Lord. Before we start or sit down, I would like us to take a confession for 2025, please. I know it's about 6 minutes. I've been timing, and averagely it's about 6 minutes. So we thank God for, but it's powerful. It's just powerful. I have it all over the house. If you come to our house, you see it all over the place. Because sometimes you just pick one and say, this is my year of Jubilee, and just read it, confess and claim, and go. That's it for that day. But let's go through our confessions this morning. One, go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by His grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed, and I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is He who began this work in me, and He will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness, no tiredness, no weakness, no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain, and where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and a pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength in me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon I am treading under my feet. With long life he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, let's be seated. Praise the Lord. Now, so we had 21 days fasting. What a wonderful time that was. Hallelujah. You know, this morning I want us to touch on something. After I heard what, the 5 points the pastor told on Sunday last week, I think it's just good to allow the pastor to come and, unravel that which God has placed in his heart for us. So I don't want to touch it. What this morning I want us to do is to build upon what we had planted during the fast. Amen? Build upon what we had planted during the fast. You know, it's always normal for people to go through some time in their life, and when that season is over, they are like, whew, this one is gone. Let me look for some. Especially when it comes to spiritual things. I don't know. The world, they know how to repeat things. They know how to go where they have their satisfaction. The world know, many of the people out there in the world, they know that on Friday night it's time to go and relax. Maybe go to a restaurant, or go to a nightclub, right? Or go to a movie. Because in them, that's what makes them, happy, feel good. So the world knows how to do things on a habitual way because it is their way of life. This morning, I want us to find, to ask ourselves, do we have our own habitual way of life before God as a Christian? If somebody asks you as a Christian, what is that habitual thing that you normally must do that keeps you going, that you can share with somebody that, hey, look, you know what? Yesterday, while I was doing this thing I normally do, this is what God told me. This is what I got from it. I think our pastor Muyiwa was talking about going back to some of the teachings that we have online in our website. I will draw your attention to a teaching, midweek teaching, of January 22nd, 2025. Amen? There is a teaching, midweek teaching of January 22nd, 2025. And when you go through that teaching, there is an emphasis that our senior pastor was talking about, habitual fellowship with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Habitual fellowship with God. You know, last weekend, our kids are in soccer. So last weekend, they had a tournament in Erie, Pennsylvania. So I had registered for this tournament. It cost some money. It was over $300. And I was waiting for the schedule because normally they will have it on a Saturday and on a Sunday. Sometimes they'll have two games on a Saturday and the one on Sunday might be in the afternoon or early in the morning. So I was waiting for the schedule and I had already told the kids, we are going to PA, maybe we'll go and see my sister. And they were excited, they were all happy. But a few days before that tournament, they sent the schedule and on that schedule it said there will be one game on Saturday, two games on Sunday. I said, nope, there's no compromise in this one. I had told my brother, pastor, I said, I might not come. But then I said, nah, I cannot miss the last and final day of the fast. There are certain utterances that will come out of the pulpit that I have to be there present. I have to witness it myself. Praise the Lord. There are some habitual things that you don't have to skip in your life. No matter what, always prioritize these things in your life. And when you do that, you are going to reap the benefit. And I never regret it because Sunday was a wonderful day. Who can attest? You remember the pastor was talking and he said, did I talk about Edie's story and all the rest? But he touched what he wanted to touch when he gave us those 5 points. And I know that this year is going to be a wonderful year. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I want us to see how we can establish this habitual way of life, of always being in God's presence. During the fast, we were waking up at 5 and praying, you know, going through the word. The 30-day devotional, I hope you've been continuing with your 30-day devotional. Today's, our pastor just told us, you are cheating. I would have asked you what day is today. I would have asked you what day is today to see if you read today, you know, Wisdom and Covenants, you know. So we go through these things. Why do we go through them? Why do we wake up in the morning and devote time to go into God's presence, to read His Word, to study it? Why do we do it? Because we want to be ready for the task that is ahead of us. Remember the pastor said, you are preparing yourself for what is going to happen. It will happen. You are just preparing yourself. Amen? So in your mind, just know that it's something this year. Something will happen. But are you preparing yourself for it? Are you devoting time for it? Our first chapter that I want, book of the Bible that I want us to read this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, the book of Corinthians is the longest books that the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. There's a reason for that. Corinthians was a cosmopolitan city. It means it was a cesspool of all cultures. There was a lot of diversity in this city. And with diversity brings a lot of, you understand, it brings a lot of different way of doing things. You know, some want it to be done this way. The Jews maybe wanted them to do it this way. The Gentiles said, no, this is how we normally do it. And so the Apostle Paul had to dedicate a lot of time to write a letter to the church at Corinth. The Bible scholar says he spent about 1.5 years in Corinthians. The Apostle Paul did. Because when he went there, he realized that I cannot leave these people like this. What I'm seeing here is really really not healthy. So I have to be here to plant the seed, you know. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." There are two words there. Determined and knowledge. Praise the Lord. The Apostle Paul knew that, look, we have a lot of things in Corinthians. If I start arguing, yeah, it's not going to board well with me. I might spend most of my time just trying to, you know. There are some places he went and he was arguing in the synagogue. But when he went to Corinth, he determined that there's one thing that can solve this division and this diversity. It's only one thing, one person, and that is Jesus Christ. And so he spent his time asking them and telling them about Jesus. Because he knew that when he brings them before Jesus Christ, division will give way. Misunderstandings will give way. Remember, it is in Corinthians that we have the famous love chapter. Right? You remember? That is where he was saying that love is patient, love is kind, you know? It is in Corinthians because there he had one of the greatest challenges of his ministry. But even the Apostle Paul realized that when he was in Corinth, there is only one thing he desired, to know Jesus Christ. So he made it a habit. He said, look, I don't just talk when I was with you. Did I want to know the current events of Corinth? Did I want to know what the mayor said? Did I want to know who was the richest person in that cosmopolitan booming city? I was not involved or I will not entertain everything that will make me be part of the division. Because the moment you enter into discussion for current events, opinions come in. And when opinions come in, people begin to move away from each other. Say, this man doesn't think the way I think. He doesn't see the way I see. But when he began to talk about Jesus Christ, and when they went before Jesus, there's only one language. Jesus Christ's language of love. He knew that no matter what he could see, the Apostle Paul was a good debater. He could argue because he knew the law. Right? He could argue before the Jews. He could even rebuke Peter and say, look, why? What are you doing? Why are you now not eating with the Gentiles because you've seen your brothers, the Jews? And he rebuked him openly. He could do all these things in Corinth, but he refrained from doing it. He told them, look, some of you even say, I am of Apollos, I am of Peter, and I am of Paul, and I am of Jesus. That is not how we're supposed to be. We should enter into a life of habitual fellowship with God, build upon that which we began. You know? Because when we spend time with God, solutions for everything we are going through comes. God will never fail us. Hallelujah. God will never fail us. Yesterday, we went out. The kids are busy with all sorts of basketball, soccer. The whole of yesterday was walk up. They had picture. I took them to this one. They finished. You drive them across. And then I came back. They had one again at 4. I said, okay, we are going there. And then my wife said, you will not even rest. I stayed quiet. And then I went. I ate. Before I knew it, I crashed on the sofa. Crashed. Normally, I crash on Sunday evenings. But this one was Saturday. So I woke up around 7 or 8. And then I was asking myself, oh my goodness, I have to prepare for the message, you know. What do I do? Let me see. So I went and then I sat down. I had made up my mind at the beginning of the year, wrote it down as a goal, that my life, my fellowship with God has to be on a daily basis. I have to make sure that I come before God's presence. I soak myself with God before I face the world, you know. And so I opened one of my, I call it the meditation book, where I will sit, you know, read the Bible, and then, you know, prayerfully, if God says something, I put it down. I write it, put the date, everything, the chapter, it's there. So I went back to this book, and I opened it. I said, okay, when was the last? And then I realized that since the second, which was the day of the fast, I have been going through God's presence in the morning and meditating on God's word. I said, let me go through what I've been doing. So on the second, I went through what God said. The third, I went. The fourth, and then there was one pattern of God's word. And that pattern was spending time in God's presence, having fellowship with God. Praise the Lord. I said, yes, that's what God wants me to talk about this morning. God wants us to talk about spending time in his presence. Habitual meditation. Prioritizing him. Amen. Prioritizing him. Because even Jesus Christ knew that he could not do it without God. If you look in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus Christ was establishing the pathway to success. Amen? In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Amen? It was, you know, if you go through the Gospels, you see that it was a very challenging task for Jesus to hide. Because people always followed him. Amen? People always followed Jesus, but then he always found some time to pray. He was active both before his Father and before men. What he was doing is he was telling them, if you look in John, it was during one of his prayer moments that his disciples came and said, Master, teach us how to pray. Amen? Teach us how to pray. Because they saw that this man doesn't just heal or teach. He also spends time praying. Because if you don't spend time praying, then this is what normally happens. If you look at the Bible in I think Luke 21. I think it's Luke or John. John is the one who said this thing. In John chapter 21, verse 3. In John chapter 21, verse 3. So when Jesus Christ had died and resurrected, the Bible says in John chapter 21, verse 3, that Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. Was that the time to go a fishing? Simon was the leader, you might remember. Simon was a de facto leader. Like, Jesus did not say, this is your leader. But the fact that Jesus told them, you are Simon, and upon this rock I'll build my church. All of them knew that Jesus was just telling them that this is your leader. Right? And so when Jesus had gone, when Simon had spent 3.5 years with Jesus, when he had seen that Jesus always took time to pray, when the time for him to gather the saints for them to pray, the Bible says, he said, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And nobody stood up and said, but is it the appropriate time for us to go fishing? Nobody. Everybody was like, well, you know it. You are the leader. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth. Amen. They did their fishing and Jesus came. If you read the whole story, Jesus came and, you know, told them, throw the fish, the net, and they had fish. But I want to draw attention to Acts now. The same Simon Peter, when Jesus was taken up to heaven, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, from verse 12, after Jesus had gone, the Bible says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. In 14 says, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Hallelujah. So after all this, Simon Peter learned one thing. This is not time to go a fishing. Amen. This is time to go a prayer. It's time for us to go to the upper room and pray for and get instructions for the next, you know, what are we taking? What are we doing next? When we break our fast, some of us are very hungry. We will do like Peter. We will go a fishing. Right? We'll go a fishing and we'll forget about that. There is a time for a fishing, but now is the time for a prayer. Now is the time to set aside, to build upon that which we have learned, that which we've gone through. Praise the Lord. I do not want the 2025 fast to be in vain in my life. I have determined in my heart that it will not be in vain. It will be a revival that will have consequences. Praise the Lord. You have to prioritize this in your life. As believers, we have to learn how to prioritize God's presence. Sometimes, for those of you who drink coffee, when you have missed your coffee in the morning, around noon, you start feeling a type. You're like, something ain't right somewhere. For those of you who are coffee drinkers, you understand what I'm saying. And then you will think, you say, oh yes, I've not drank my coffee today. Why? Because your system has been trained to drink coffee in order to stay alert. And the moment you realize that your alertness is going, you ask yourself, but this is not normal. Am I having flu or what? Then you say, oh no, this is coffee. The absence of coffee birtheth confusion. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing with your walk with God. You're supposed to come out of your house and you are like, there's something ain't right here. What happened? Oh yes, I have not had time with God. Something ain't right. I have not had time with God. And the devil knows this very well. The devil is the number one thing that the devil has against believers is to keep them away from God, from having time with God, you know, having valuable time with God. That's the number one weapon that he has against believers these days. There are a lot of distractions in the world, a lot of them. Too many. And so he keeps the mind busy with the things around you. And you don't have time to dedicate before God. You know? And the devil is not asleep. So the last day of the fast was Sunday. And something really happened. And I just laughed. I said, the devil, you are a liar. So after having spent time with my, you know, I had my morning devotion that morning. So I said, okay. I mean, you know the way God does his things. Just when I finished and I was closing my Bible in my office, I heard the kid say, there is a police, a cop outside. I said, a cop? What has happened here? I was not moved or worried because I know, Popo, me and Popo, we don't have contract. Amen? You know how the pastor called it. Popo. We don't have contract with Popo. I don't. I mean, even when I'm driving, my wife knows, I drive like an old man. I drive me quietly within the limits. I don't want the Popo to pull me over. I don't. I have had two experiences like that. And I told myself, it is my fault. It is nobody's fault. It is my, I can control it. Amen. This is something I can control. I will not put the blame on anybody. I mean, I was pulled my first time. I was pulled over. This cop looked at me and he said, is it your first time? I said, yes. He laughed. I said, it's okay. It's okay. Relax. And he was so good. He told me, you know what? I don't know if you are FBI, but you know what I'll do? I'll give you a ticket. Go to court. I will not come. I said, but why do you want me to go through this process? Don't just give me. He said, I don't know if you are FBI. I don't know if you are somebody, you know. So this is, I have to follow the law. I said, okay. He gave me and I went to court. And lo and behold, he did not show up. He did not show up. You know, and I said, no, I don't want experiences like that. So I always within my, Popo, nope, I don't want to deal me with Popo. No. So I drive within the limits. If there is a stop, there is no rolling stop. Because I did a rolling stop once with an old car which had bad brakes. I pressed it like this. The thing stopped and went again. And then I just saw behind me. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I said, oh, Popo has come. And then he comes and he says, is there something wrong with your brakes? I said, you noticed. He said, yes, I noticed. And also, that's not all. You have not renewed your registration. He said, I said, oh, yes, it's July. My birthday was June. I said, oh, he said, look, I'll give you a ticket. Just go there and tell the judge. And that's what happened. I went there and told the judge. The judge said, have you done it? I said, yes, I've done it. He said, okay, pay the court charges. Nothing against your license. Bye-bye. I said, okay, good. So when this morning and I saw the Popo, I went back down. I looked at the Popo. I said, what's going on, sir? He said, your neighbor complained that your kids are throwing stones on their roof. Oh. I said, ah, stones? I knew because he had told me once. I just turned to the guys. I said, ah, guys, you guys are still throwing stones? He said, no, me, oh. I said, stop throwing stones on the neighbor's roof now. He doesn't want it. There's the Pope, the man, the police himself was just looking. He said, I'm just doing what they have said. I said, it's okay, I understand. It's the last day of the fast. And the devil thinks he can ruin me. Ruin. You know, it's just a proof that there is something wonderful that will happen this year. You will not grieve my spirit. You remember, it's there. You see, in the confession it says, I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. Why? Because God's shalom is mine. Praise the Lord. God's shalom is mine. You know, the natural reaction is, oh my goodness, this neighbor, how could you call the police on me? You know, I was so angry at some point. I told my wife, I said, yeah, we're moving from here. Then later on, I said, nah, we should not be impulsive in our reactions. We should be prayerful. Amen. We should be prayerful. When you see the neighbor, you greet him. You say, you're very sorry. And I know, I told my wife, I said, I know who threw that stone. It's that last one. That small. He's the one. Because the other ones, one told me, say, you remember when we threw it the other time about many years, you told us we are not throwing it again, no? I say, yeah, I understand. That one has not heard. Now he knows. Now he knows not to do it. Praise the Lord. He knows not to do it. But you see, the devil is not asleep. He will do everything to disrupt. He wants us to be agitated. He wants us, and when we are agitated, we miss the blessing. It was the last day of the fast. And certain things, when they happen during your fast like that, you know that is the devil. There are many times during the Daniel fast, things have happened, you know. And I have said, it's okay. We're going to go over it. The devil is just agitated, you know. He wants us to be grieved in our spirit. So we don't enjoy the full blessing, you know. So we are distracted. Instead of listening to what the pastor is saying, I begin to see a purple face in front of me. Nah, it will not happen. It will not happen. Amen? Amen. But it was like that because the devil realized that there is an habitual, there's something great God is about to do. There's something great. I just feel it in my spirit. You know? I just feel it in my spirit. Praise the Lord. And so, I have come to know one thing. Knowing God requires dedication. Can we have Jeremiah 29:13? Knowing God requires a desire in our hearts. And knowing God requires discipline. The three D's. Dedication, desire, and discipline. And ye shall seek me and find me. When ye shall search for me with all your heart. Praise the Lord. You shall seek me and find me. When ye shall search for me with all your heart. Do we have that in Amplified, please? Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me. As a vital necessity. A vital necessity. And find me when you search for me with all your heart. Praise the Lord. As a vital necessity. Vital, vitale, la vie means life. You search for me. Because you know your life depends on it. You search for me because you know your life depends on it. Because you know by stepping out there alone, on by yourself, you are exposed. You're exposing yourself. You need to get up in the morning and you set the tone. Amen? You determine the tone. You determine the outcome. You have to determine your outcome. Don't allow the devil to determine your outcome for you. Don't give him that foothold. Go to the one who gives life and do a vital necessity. So when you step out there, when your kids step out, make it a habit. You drop your kids off. You lay your hands on them. You say, you're going, you are covered in the blood of Jesus. I cover you, I cover your mind, I cover your intellect. I bar you from friends that will come to influence you negatively, and I ask that you influence your friends positively. You pray that to them. Hallelujah. Pray it because that is what God has assigned you to do. You are the head of the household. That is what you are supposed to do for your children. That is your own commitment. As the head of the household, as a parent, it's for you to determine. There was a time I said here on the pulpit about the war the enemy, I think even Pastor has said it, the war the enemy has placed against our children. Remember last year during the Daniel fast, I think it was the last day, if I'm not mistaken, the pastor said, we have to pray for all our children. Do you remember that? He said he had a burden to pray for the children. I don't know But I have a burden to pray for the children. Because the devil has orchestrated like a Tomahawk missile against our kids. He has made them. He has an agenda for them. You know, like somebody said, give me a child and I'll change a generation. Just a child. Because when you affect that child's life now, positively for God, you have affected that child's generation. Praise the Lord. You have affected that child's generation. Even in the Bible, remember, even after Peter, when Peter, they decided not to be preaching and they were looking for young men. You know, the condition was what? We need young men who had been with us, who know our ways, the teachings that we have been teaching, you know, who have been under our tutorship. We need those young men and we need them because they are the ones we impact. So you establish in the morning, you establish the outcome. You establish, you tell the devil, this is what I want for my children. This is, my children will be what God wants them to be, not what you have planned for them. You are able to tell them that, look, oh, what you are saying is not right, in a loving way. You say, this is not how it's done. This is not how. When they ask you a question, tell them, just tell them. You know, kids have questions, huh? They have questions. Sometimes some of the questions I hear them ask me, I'm like, oh my goodness, how do I navigate this one without, you know, coming out like a dumb man? Yeah. But we have to determine the outcomes of our life. And the only way we can determine it is if we have this habitual fellowship with God. Praise the Lord. Meditation of God's word. Like we saw in Luke chapter 5 verse 16, the Lord, he set aside time to pray. Jesus saw the need for prayer. Jesus, who was from heaven. Jesus was the one who will tell Lazarus to come out of his grave after 3 days. He saw the need for meditation, for prayer. How come us? You know, he has set the pace for us. We should not go back like Peter did in John chapter 21:3. We should not go back a fishing. We should go back in Acts chapter 1:14. We should dedicate time in prayer right now. This year, we are going to pray. We are going to commit ourselves before God's presence. We are our joy, our happiness will not be the things that God has done, good as that may be, but our fellowship with God. The smile on your face should be because you fellowship with God and you were just happy. Hallelujah. You were just happy. You were just, because God is in the business of rewarding. God is in the business of taking care of us. God will take care of us. Amen. Just know that. God will take care of us. But the thing that God will not do for us is dedicate time for us to have fellowship with Him. God will not do that. We have to do it. We have to trigger this priority. We have to set up our minds to know that, look, it is us who have to come before God. We have to set time aside. Amen? And follow it rigorously. Dedication, desire, and discipline. Remember, dedication, desire, and discipline. God will bless us. He says in This Is My Jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. It will happen. All debts are canceled and all lack is erased. It will happen. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruit will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest. Exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. We are not going to have unprecedented growth if we don't spend time before God. We are not going to have it. Jesus Christ, remember in Gethsemane, Jesus Christ, he said, if this cup can be taken away from me, God, take it. But then, not my will, but yours be done. He could only do it in prayer. I bet you if Jesus was not a prayerful, if he wasn't prayerful, that cup was a bitter cup. The weight of the world was on Jesus Christ. It was, the Bible says he prayed and until his drops were like blood, drops of blood. They were thick because of the pain that he saw. He was not only being killed, he was carrying the sin of the world, the sin of people who were not even born like us. Can you imagine? It wasn't only the sin of the people who killed him, the sin of the people of Israel in those days. No. The world's population in those days, I'm sure it wasn't even up to 1 billion. And from that time up to now, if you have the statisticians, they will give you, big data will tell you, maybe currently we are about 8 billion in the world, but big data will tell you, if we have to deduce from this model, from 2,000 years ago to now, maybe we are about 20 billion people. And before that, maybe 10 billion. The weight of the world was on Jesus Christ, but he could sustain it because he went through prayer. He had established it in prayer. He said, I will determine the outcome. I will establish this in prayer. I'm not going to give it to chance. I'm not going to say, yes, this is why I came. You know, the promise is there. I will thrive in 2025. Yeah, I will thrive. Jesus said, yeah, I came to die for the sins of the world. That is why I came. 3.5 years is what I will do. I will preach for 3.5 years and then I will go up to that cross and I will die for the sins of the world. But you know what? That's why I came. But I have to determine that outcome in the place of prayer. Praise the Lord. We have to determine our outcome. When things come your way, don't look at it from a physical perspective. Always retreat and ask God, what sayest thou? What are you saying, Father? It is normal, natural, that we will react sometimes, but that should not be a permanent, you know, reaction. The flesh will always want to puff up, right? But we have to subdue it. We have to say, no, I know I can be, I have to be angry, but then the Bible says, be angry and do not let the anger and the sun go down on you. The Bible says it because the Bible knows this is the flesh. Jesus was angry until he threw, you know, in the temple when they were selling in this in the temple. He threw it. I'm sure Peter was like, ah, Jesus. Humble Jesus. This humble Jesus is breaking down things, flipping tables, what a sight. This is the Jesus who said, if you have seen, throw the first stone. Humble, not moved. He's never moved. But he was angry. But he did not let it sink. Praise the Lord. A message will not change, but we need to fellowship with God. We need to understand the times. A last verse I want us to read is from the book of Matthew. And I want us to know one thing. Before the fast, there was a message. The gospel must be preached. After the fast, that message did not change. Amen. The message did not change. In Matthew, the Bible says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. That's Matthew chapter 3, from verse 15. The Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighted upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 4 says, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. It means he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that. The tempter knew what he was going through. The devil knew what he was going through. You think the devil does not know what you're going through? He knows your weaknesses, and he knows how to hit that, you know, just where he knows that you are weak, when he knows you are vulnerable, especially after a 21-day fast, you know. The Bible says he asked Jesus to do, you know, he tempted Jesus twice, but Jesus prevailed. But what I want to draw us here is that in verse 13 of chapter 4, it says, no, in 13 of, now, verse 12 of chapter 4, it says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Praise the Lord. When he heard that John the Baptist was caught, he departed. He was just from fasting. But he knew that, look, understand the times. Now like this is not the time for me to begin my ministry in this place, because there is hostility towards the message I had, which was the same message that John the Baptist had. Remember, in verse 17, he says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, not where he was with John the Baptist. He left. And he went from Nazareth, he went to Galilee. That's where he saw the disciples. But verse 17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, what did he say? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Does that sound familiar? That is the same thing John the Baptist said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. After a fast, wisdom and knowledge increases. This is Jesus Christ. You know, there are some places in the Bible where it says Jesus Christ was taken from the synagogue when he stood up and said, today has this message been fulfilled, claiming that he's the Messiah. And the people say, are you crazy? The Messiah, they took him and they wanted to throw him off a cliff. The Bible says he passed in their midst. He just passed. Nobody touched him. That's the same Jesus. But after he had fasted, wisdom came to him and he said, look, they are throwing people in prison. They just threw John the Baptist. And his message is the same message I have. It's just the message of repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. If I come out and I begin to say repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, prison is my portion. He knew it. Herod was not joking. Amen. After the fast, when the devil tempted him three times, he said, you know what? This is not the right place for me. Wisdom was his portion. He said, let me go to Galilee where we have fishermen. When I preach about the gospel there, they will understand. And it will be fine. It's not like today where we have, you know, we have TikTok or we have Facebook Live. Jesus in Galilee preaching, repent, the Son of the heaven. And then Herod is like, ah, Is it not the same message John is preaching? Get him. He would just phone and say, pick him out. You know, it was not like that. He was in Galilee, you know. And he preached the same message, but in a different location. Praise the Lord. That is where God wanted him to be at that time, after his fast. Where does God want you to be after this fast? The place I want you to know God wants you to be is habitual fellowship in his presence. Amen? The gospel has not changed. The Bible did not change. You're going to meditate the same Bible, but this time around, you'll be meditating in God's presence. It will be habitual. It will be something that is part of your life. It's your way of life. It will be your way of life. And I trust you. People will see it and notice, and they will come. They will not ask you directly, but they will want to be with you because they know that when they come with you, there's something. There is grace that is coming out of you. Grace is coming out of you. Amen? That is fellowshipping with God. Our fellowship with God, God reveals things to us. God tells us about our future, about things that we are going through, about the people around us we love. He begins to minister in our hearts the things that he wants us to pray about, you know, the places he wants us to go and not to go. Amen? That is what happens. But what we have to do is we have to prioritize his presence first. After a fast like the one we had, we have to prioritize his presence, and we have to build upon the things that that became a way of life for us. That early morning waking up and dedicating time to pray, to read, study God's word. You know, tomorrow is day 29. You read your day 29, and like the pastor shared, even when you are finished with all the days, you go back again. You go back again. And you start from day one, you know. And repetition is the mother of learning, right? It's the same thing spiritually. The more you spend time with God repetitively, the more you know God, the more you have the mind of Christ, the more you are able to do things the way God wants you to do when it comes your way. Your impulse will be God's impulse. You know, you will not do something and say, I was not supposed to say that. You will do it and people will see you will see grace. Your words will be full of grace, will be full of teaching, rebuking. You know, you rebuke somebody, the person knows that you are talking from a place of love. He's not saying that you are trying to pull him down or degrade him. Praise the Lord. And when you receive something from a person like that, even in your spirit, you know, this person is talking from a place of love. What I said or what I did is wrong. The way I'm doing things is not the right way. I'm happy that somebody is even honest and loving enough to tell me where I'm wrong. Amen? Because there are many people today, when you tell them about the truth in their lives, they take offense. They take offense. I've witnessed where preachers have called out people in the crowd and say, look, brother or sister, this is what you're supposed to do, but you are not doing it because of this. And they are like, in front of everybody? What is this? You know? We come into that place where we accept the oracles of God as God is the one talking. Always look at yourself and say, but what is God saying? What is God saying when people say things to you, or especially from the pulpit? Point number four that the pastor said, I think it was point number four, aligning yourself with somebody with an apostolic ministry over your life. Especially when it comes to that, you know, when they tell you the truth, they tell you, expose to you that which maybe is hindering you from going to the next level. Don't take offense. Know that, look, it's love. They want you to grow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope you had something this morning. My prayer is that we go and begin to have habitual. If you've not had it, if you've not made it a way of life, please go and make God's presence habitual in your life, part of your life. Get in touch with God. Begin the day with God. Always have God. Always have God. Prioritize God in your life. You know, because knowing God requires dedication, desire. You know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand up, please. You will not regret it. You will not regret it. I am loving my time. I am loving my quiet times with God. I am loving them. They are wonderful. I am loving them. God is... It is what is right. It's what God wants from us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants us to have habitual fellowship. Read the book, Knowing God More Intimately. It will help you. Knowing God More Intimately. It will help you. Read it. Meditate over it. It's simple, plain English. Just plain. It's like you're hearing God's the voice of the pastor just talking in your ear. You know? And God is... Everything that will encourage you to be in God's presence, do it. And anything that will come to stop you from God's presence, chase it away. Amen. Rebuke it. Say, nope. Not here. Not here. Prioritize knowing God more intimately in your life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Lord, it is your word for the hour that we know you, that we have fellowship with you. You have called us out so that we might have fellowship with you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we face this year, we will be equipped with your presence. We'll be equipped with your presence. We will spend time with you this year, Lord. We will spend time with you. And we will see the fruits in our lives. We'll enjoy the fruits of God's presence, of fellowship. Yes, Lord. Come dwell in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.